And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, every once in a while, I like to do a program that I just entitle Outrageous. Outrageous! And then I ask the question, are you angry yet? Now, I think anger can be a very good thing. It all depends on what is the object, the intent, in other words, of your anger. Now, after one of these programs, you may get so fired up and upset and angry and mad that, you know, maybe the world will want to send you to one of those anger management classes. But I say, so what? Go there and tell them about these things and maybe get some of those people angry too, including the instructors or whatever. I want to talk today about some things. And, you know, I keep little news items and information that just gets me angry, gets my blood boiling. And Jesus was like that. There's a lot of things that made him very angry. Look what happened when he found the money changers in the temple. Boy, he overturned their tables and sent them out of the temple with a whip. He whipped them. Now, I'm not for that necessarily, although he did the right thing. I'm not going to question Jesus. If he wants to take a whip to the money changers, we got a bunch in Washington, D.C. and New York on Wall Street. I'd love Jesus to come down with a whip and just go after him at the New York Stock Exchange, wouldn't you? That'd be fun to see that. But in any case, I'm not asking you to do that, but at least be aware of these things. And as we can, fight them. You know, we can write, phone our congressmen, our senators, our mayors, our councilmen. We can write letters to the editor. But first you have to know about these things, and then you have to get fired up and be willing to do something about them. Well, let's go with them right away. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. First of all, I start with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. Evidently, he was on television recently. And you know how it is that the Israelis and the control media that's owned by the Zionists keeps talking about the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, saying Israel should be wiped from the map. Well, actually, Ahmadinejad never said that. What he said was that the current regime in Israel should be removed. That's what he said. Just as the Soviet communist regime was removed and we had a new government in the Eastern European countries and in Soviet Russia, so too do we need a new government, a peaceful government, beneficial to all of mankind, in Tel Aviv. That's really what he was saying. And he predicted that it would happen, that Israel would fall in terms of its current leadership and receive a new leadership. So they've been lying about Ahmadinejad just to get people upset with this propaganda. Meanwhile, Netanyahu recently was on television. In fact, it was at a news conference in Switzerland, and the German newspaper Die Zeit, that's D-I-E, second word Zeit, Z-E-I-T, interviewed the Israeli Prime Minister, Netanyahu. And one of the things that he asked about was, what is Israel's intention toward Lebanon, the independent country just north of the Israeli landmass in the Middle East? And what he said is very interesting. He said, quote, "You have a look at the new map of the world and see that there is no nation with this name." In other words, he was asked, are you going to strike Lebanon with military forces? And his answer was, well, look at the map of the world. There's not even a nation by that name. You know, this is sort of like the Zionist Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, who said of the Palestinian people that they don't even exist. They were invented. They don't exist. They're being massacred and murdered and tormented every day by the Israelis and their tanks and gunships and gangers in San Terms, and no, they don't really exist. You know, it's bad enough to be, have your family massacred, your homes torn down, your orchards, your businesses bulldozed, and then you have these stupid American politicians, these monsters that have no heart, like Santorum and Gingrich and Mitt Romney probably too, who go forth and say, well, the Palestinians really don't even exist. They're an invented people. Huh? They're being slaughtered, but they don't really exist, right? What kind of mind game, psychopathic nonsense is that? It surely makes me angry. Now, Netanyahu went on to say that Israel's plan is to wipe Lebanon from the map, because it really doesn't even exist. The Lebanese nation, made up of Muslims and, yes, Christians, doesn't even exist, so just wipe them off the map. Why doesn't the world get angry at Netanyahu, since everybody seems to be so upset at Ahmadinejad for something he didn't even say? But the Sean Hannitys, the Laura Ingrams, the Ann Coulters, certainly the Brian Williams, the Ed Schultz, and the Rachel Maddows, and the Wolf Blitzers, and all the other media talking heads, why don't they have something to say about Netanyahu threatening to wipe Lebanon from the map? It just makes you angry and upset. Well, we go on to another outrage. It seems that we always are finding out more and more about secret experiments on people by the Veterans Department, the VA, yes, by the Pentagon, and other agencies of government, the CIA, for example, with its LSD experimentation. Well, according to CNN, and they're absolutely right, recently we find out that U.S. soldiers were used as experimental test subjects back in the late 1960s. They were taken to a place called Edgewood Arsenal. They were asked to volunteer and told they would get this cushy, pleasant temporary duty if they would volunteer as soldiers. So they did. Take, for example, Army Private Tim Josephs. Just 18 years old, he volunteered. He thought it would be a nice thing, be interesting to go there. They told him that it would be a plum assignment. The idea is they would test new Army field jackets, clothing, weapons, things of that nature. But when he got there, the base personnel were all wearing white lab coats. Well, Private Josephs had second thoughts about it. Said he didn't want to volunteer for their experiments. But an officer took him aside and said, listen here, you young man. You volunteered for this and you're going to do it. If you don't, we're going to send you to jail. You're going to Vietnam, he told the private, either way, before or after. Now, folks, from 1955 to 1975, our own military researchers at Edgewood not only used animals, but live human beings. These poor soldiers, these young men. And they injected them with a witch's brew of drugs and chemicals. They ranged from potentially lethal nerve gases like VX and sarin to incapacitating agents like BZ. The military also tested tear gas, barbiturates, tranquilizers, narcotics, and hallucinogens like LSD. I want you to think about that. Taking our young men and forcing them to be experimental test subjects. Now, this is recently admitted by the Army, and these classified documents came out. But the fact is, many of these young men are now older. Many of them have died of this experimentation. That's right. They died of the injuries they received internally and externally with these injections and so forth. And evidently, we now find that many of them have diseases such as Parkinson's disease, epilepsy, and others. These people were told never say to anything to anyone about what happened to you, or you'll be punished, even later on in civilian life, but thank God some of them are finally coming forth. Take Private Josephs. He applied for veterans benefits. Why? Because his body is a wreck. He's unable to even work. His symptoms vary. He has trouble swallowing. He has numbness in his joints. He has tremors like Parkinson's. He's always exhausted. What did this? Well, his time at Edgewood. They gave him such high doses that they made him sick, and he's been sick ever since. Folks, what kind of nation does this to its own young men? The best of America who volunteered for military service. Listen, I was only 18 when I volunteered for the U.S. Air Force. I can see these things happening to me, can't you? This is pitiful. This is sickening. Absolutely disgusting. These started during the era of LBJ, Lyndon B. Johnson. What a demon that man was. Well, here's something that's demonic. You know, the Israeli ultra-Orthodox, the Orthodox Jews, they can't wait for American young men and women to go over to Iran. And they loved it when we were in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting all of their Muslim enemies. They want us to be over there in droves. They want to see the American soldiers go over there and fight and die while they sit back and do nothing. Well, I got a little secret for you, friends. Did you know that the Orthodox Jews of Israel refuse military service? They're all conscientious objectors. Yes, the Israeli military is strong. We've given it all the money, all of its weapons. We even gave them the nuclear bomb. They've got 400 of them. They're the only country really in the Middle East that has nuclear bombs. They're the real threat to the world in the Middle East. The Israelis are. But guess what? The Orthodox Jews, they're too good to put on a military uniform. Here's a news item that just came out, sort of interesting. It says, ultra-Orthodox Jewish parties inside Israel's government say they will oppose any new law. The Knesset, that's the legislature of Israel, passes that would make the Orthodox Jewish believer subject to Israel's compulsory military draft. Last week, Israel's Supreme Court overturned a law that has helped tens of thousands of religious men avoid military service by pursuing state-sponsored religious studies instead. The privilege has created widespread resentment among Israel's secular majority and encouraged the Orthodox to become lifelong students. After they finish their yeshiva studies, that's their religious schools, many of the Orthodox men do not get jobs and live off of state handouts. So you see these filthy, dirty little Jewish guys wearing their black hats and their black clothes, and they have these long curls coming out from under their hat, and they're going around doing their little mumbo jumbo chants at the Wailing Wall and all that. These are nothing but a bunch of losers, no goods, who won't even serve in their own nation's armed forces. They want the Israeli army to go out and kill all the Muslims. Especially love to have America's Christians die. They're the primary promoters of war in the Middle East, the Orthodox Jews. But they themselves refuse to serve. And then they won't even go out and get jobs. They walk the streets and do their little chants and spit on Christians. Yes, there's problems in old Jerusalem right now, the city where Orthodox men march up and down the street looking for Christian tourists to spit on. That was a recent newspaper story out of Jerusalem. Can you imagine? March up and down the streets looking for Christian tourists to spit upon. That's how much they hate Christ and Christians. They themselves won't even lift a finger to help their own families. Their families are reduced to living off of state handouts. This is the kind of Orthodox Jews that live in Israel. And I'm telling you, friends, listen to me very closely. Many of the Orthodox rabbis and their followers right here in America live off of handouts. just like the Mormon men that have all these multiple wives in the state of Utah and elsewhere, Arizona and West Texas. Most of them are receiving welfare payments. They're on, you know, they marry 12 wives, but only one of them do they admit to. The rest of them are all just single women living on welfare, according to the welfare rolls. That's the Mormon men for you. You know, the Bible says if you do not support your family, you know what it says to you men? Listen to me. And you wives out there, listen to me very carefully. A man that does not support his family, the Bible says, is worse than an infidel. He's not just an infidel. You know, that's pretty darn bad, an infidel. That's somebody who truly is an enemy of God. But a man who does not support his family is worse than an infidel, the scriptures say. You Orthodox people and you Mormon men that don't really support your family, instead you get welfare payments, you're worse than an infidel, and I hold you in deep contempt. Well, I'll tell you somebody else I hold in deep contempt, these rabbis, because they have a holy book called the Talmud. It's written by the ancient rabbis, and it's got their 613 so-called laws. Some of the most ridiculous things in the world they're required to do with their Talmud. Many of these things existed during the time of Jesus. You know, eat not this, don't touch this, do this or that. I mean, their whole lives are prescribed in the laws, the halakha that's in the Talmud. Well, guess what else is in the Talmud? The story of Jesus. The story of Jesus is found in the Jewish Talmud. And it is outrageous. Now you say, well, Tex, you should appreciate the story of Jesus. The Jews themselves admit that Jesus lived. The Jews admit of his teachings. But wait, let me explain something to you, dear friends. They admit that Jesus lived, but they say that Jesus was a reprobate. Their Talmud says that Jesus was a bastard child born to a whore, Mary. They claim that Mary had out of wedlock sex with a Roman soldier, a centurion. And out of that illicit relationship, says the Talmud, and the rabbis teach this to their synagogue congregations quite often, out of that illicit relationship came the baby Jesus, who is a bastard, they say. Now, this Jesus was also a false teacher, a reprobate, and a blasphemer, the Talmud says, who actually used sorcery and magic to perform miracles. And not only that, he was a sex pervert. They say Jesus was a sex pervert. And I'm not going to talk about the details of what they say that he did. All of this, of course, is nothing but fiction on their part. The horrible things they say about our Lord and Savior Jesus in the Talmud. But in the Talmud, it says that Jesus was taken before the Sanhedrin, and he was given an opportunity to explain himself and defend himself, but he said not a word. There was no one to defend Jesus before the hearing of the Sanhedrin, and so he was convicted. And the Talmud says, rightly so, for he uttered not a word in his defense. And he was sent to the cross to be tortured, purged, scourged, tortured, and then to be nailed to the cross and to die in agony. And rightly so, because he was a blasphemer and a sorcerer and a whore's bastard child. That is what they say about our Lord and Savior. It brings you to tears. It's sad. Now, that's bad enough, folks. That's bad enough. And they admit, they said, we rightfully convicted him. We, the Jews, are responsible for his death. It is we who gave him a trial, who convicted him, who then turned him over to the Romans and said, crucify him. We did that, and we're proud of it. I was watching a YouTube video recently where a couple of thug Jewish teenagers, probably about 18 to 21 years of age, were harassing some Christians that were trying to help out some Palestinians. And as they were harassing these people, the Americans said, "Why do you harass these people? These are their homes. They live in these homes. What are you doing here? Why have you come to make trouble and harass these Palestinian people? They're just trying to live in peace." And you know what? Right away, the Israeli thugs, the young men, could see that these were people from America or, you know, from the West because of their accents and their English. And they said to them, "Oh, you people are Christians, are you?" And the Christian people said, "Yes, we are." "Well, we know about your Jesus. We crucified him, and we're proud we did it. He was a bastard." They started calling Jesus names. They're the exact words, and it's on the YouTube video. It's on the video on YouTube. These Jews that were making trouble, that were being thuggish and persecuting the Palestinian people. And the Americans were just trying to protect them, and the Jews came forth and said this, these two Jews. And no doubt they expressed the sentiment of the Talmud and of the rabbis. "We killed Jesus, and we are proud of what we did." Now, folks, a few years back, Mel Gibson came out with a movie, The Passion of Christ. It was pretty much biblical. I'm not recommending the movie. I'm just saying that there was a movie. Mel Gibson, the famous actor, as you know, was the producer and director. And in the movie, it shows the horror of what happened to Jesus. A kind man, a merciful man, a loving son of God. How he was so battered and tortured and then crucified. And it was the Jews who demanded that the Roman governor Pilate crucify him. It was the Jews that tried him in their Sanhedrin, their high religious council of the rabbis, and they condemned him to death. And when Pilate wanted to let him go, the Jews cried out, "Give us Barabbas, crucify him, crucify this Jesus." This is a historical fact. And Mel Gibson had that in his movie. Exactly as it is in the Bible, in the scriptures. Exactly, now listen to this, exactly as it is stated in the Jews' own book of law, the Talmud, the version of the movie that Mel Gibson produced, The Passion of Christ, followed exactly the Talmud in terms of what happened to Jesus. That it was the Jews themselves who said, "Crucify him." And they convicted and condemned him and caused his death. But when this movie was about to be released, Abe Foxman of the Jewish ADL and the other rabbis in America all got together and began to batter and bash and scream and call Mel Gibson, "You anti-Semite. Do not put this in your movie. It's making the Jews look bad. You're an anti-Semite. You're telling these lies about the Jews." Now, Mel Gibson obviously may be a decent man in some respects. And he did not know evidently that in the Jewish Talmud itself, the Jews brag about killing Jesus. And finally, Mel Gibson agreed to take out of the final cut of the movie 9 key words that related to the fact that it was the Jews who were guilty, who were responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus. Even Mel Gibson took out 9 words. Now listen, friends. Tex Mars is of a different sort, a different character. I say, I will never take out one iota, one word from the Holy Bible to please the Jews. But isn't it outrageous? Isn't it a galling thing for them to brag about their being responsible? "We Jews, we killed Jesus. Ha, ha, ha." That's in their Talmud. And yet they don't want Americans to say the Jews killed Jesus. They've already got the Catholic Church to agree to take that out of all of their passion plays, their Easter plays and pageants. That's right. The greatest pageant play in the world is one conducted down in Germany, over in Germany. A great passion play in the town of the former village of Oberammergau. I visited that place. They have the most fabulous passion pageant or play in the whole world, but they've been forced to revise it in the last decade and take out the words that the rabbis found objectionable. You can no longer say the Jews killed Jesus or the Jews condemned Jesus. You cannot say the Jews are responsible for his crucifixion. The Jews themselves brag in their Talmud that they did it. But you and the whole world have to be kept in the dark. How many people read the Talmud? Almost nobody. That's why Tex Morris has brought it out in the open. It's an outrage that the Jews brag about killing Jesus, but threaten people like Mel Gibson and all the other Christians. If you say we Jews did it, we're going to bash you and destroy you. That's what they say. Well, I hate to use these words that George W. Bush said, but I say to the Jews, if you don't like Tex Morris saying the truth and reading the words of the Holy Bible and publishing them, I say, bring it on, baby. You're barking up the tree to the wrong man. Jerry, how much longer we got to go on this half? 2 minutes. Well, I got time for this one. I think it's sort of ironic. I like this. Makes you think of something. Some folks online sent me this. They say, think about this. The food stamp program, part of the Department of Agriculture, is pleased to be distributing the greatest number of food stamps ever. Actually, they don't give people food stamps anymore. They give them a debit card they can take to their food stores or to McDonald's or whatever and buy food. Give them not debit cards. And now 46 million, as I show in my video, Die America Die, 46 million Americans are now on food stamps. That's pretty outrageous in itself. But get this. While they're giving out these food stamps to 46 million people, feeding, in other words, 46 million people in America, the Park Service, which is also, of course, part of the government, ask us as Americans, when we visit the national parks, please do not feed the animals. Why? Because the Park Service explains, if you feed the animals may grow dependent and not learn to take care of themselves. Uh-huh. Get it? Feed the people, 46 million of them right now on food stamps. But don't feed the animals, because the animals may grow dependent and not learn to take care of themselves. That's pretty ironic, isn't it? Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about our First Lady, Michelle Obama, going on a $50,000 lingerie spending spree. I don't really want to see what she bought, do you? Not with it on her body. But in any case, $50,000, has your wife ever gone, dear friend, or dear woman, listener, have you ever gone on a $50,000 spending spree to buy lingerie? And what would your husband say about it if you did? What are you thinking when you're out buying it? Well, that and much more, including the new ABC show or sitcom entitled GCB, which means Good Christian Bitches. Unbelievable. I am outraged. This is Tex Morris. Stay with us. We've got a lot more when we return right here on Power of Prophecy. Well, this is Tex Morris again. You know, talking about outrageous, some years ago, a good friend of mine, a medical doctor named Dr. James Holly out of Beaumont, Texas, had a campaign going asking the Southern Baptist Convention, that's the largest of the Protestant denominations, course, they probably don't use the word Protestant anymore because they're not protesting anything anymore. They sort of hand in hand with the Catholic Church these days and the Southern Baptist denomination. But Dr. Holly went to their national convention. And every year, you know, some 10 to 15,000 Southern Baptist so-called messengers, pastors, lay leaders, and so forth, ministry leaders, all meet in one place somewhere in the United States and have their big convention. And all their potentates get up and they vote on this resolution or that resolution. Well, Dr. Holly sponsored a resolution which would have the Southern Baptist denomination firmly renounce Freemasonry as incompatible with Christianity. And of course, it is incompatible with Christianity. Now, how do I know that? Well, I've done decades of research on the Masonic Lodge. It is an occultic, satanic sect or cult. Now, we have a book, and I was so proud to be able to write the foreword for this book. It's by a former attorney, Reginald Haupt, Jr., H-A-U-P-T, Haupt. Some call it just Hope, H-A-U-P-T, Reginald Haupt, H-A-U-P-T, Jr. Some call him just Bubba because he comes from the state of Georgia. Everybody in Georgia is called Bubba, aren't they? I think they are, but anyway. Actually, he really has been called Bubba, but he said he doesn't mind that too much. He just wants to get the message out about the truth of Freemasonry. So he wrote a book. We got copies of it, and, you know, we offered it. Then it went out of print, and then we begged Brother Hopped to put it back in print. Let us publish it. We'll publish it. No other publisher in America hardly would publish it, but we would. See, we do all kind of strange things here at Power of Prophecy. We publish books that are just banned, boycotted, censored everywhere, except here. We just think the truth ought to get out. Now, Dr. Holly was not successful in getting his resolution approved by the messengers. Turns out that many of the deacons, that's the leaders, and pastors of the Southern Baptist Convention are themselves Freemasons. And they sure didn't appreciate Brother Holly trying to get a resolution passed that renounced membership in Freemasonry. No, no, no. They love doing the devil's work, so they wanted to keep that going. But by the way, he was still successful because he got a lot of people to vote for that resolution, although not a majority. And the Southern Baptist Convention was forced to, quote-unquote, investigate. They went out and investigated, sort of appeased Dr. Holly. Now, what really happened, of course, was they sent out a man who, as it turned out, was a friend of Freemasonry to investigate Freemasonry. You know, like, you know, sending the fox out to gore the hen house, right? And that's what happened. And as it turns out, the guy that investigated and reported that they're not that bad of a group, it's a really nice, wonderful fraternity, he today is a Freemason. Probably always was. He claims he wasn't. But today he's a Freemason. He's a invited guest speaker at some of the lodges sometime. Of course, they're very proud of what he did, you know, and, you know, excusing the sins of their lodge. But hey, that's not Brother Haupt. He wrote this book called The Gods of the Lodge. See, that's really at what's at issue here. Who do they worship? They are a religion. They say they are the religion. The religion. They are a religious cult. And they have gods that they worship. And Brother Haupt, as I said, was a former attorney, but he's been in a lot of troubles ever since he wrote the book. In fact, he did a little prison time. That's what happens to you, friends, when you tell the truth. Get your law license taken away, spend some prison time. When you're from Georgia, a state that's about where all of the state politicians and judges, are about 90% of them are Masons, that's big-time trouble when you write a book like Brother Reginald Hopp did. The Gods of the Lodge, and again, my foreword, you'll be interested to see what I have to say about the Gods of the Lodge. And by the way, Brother Hopp wrote us a letter recently, said he's writing a new book from his prison cell. He'll be out of prison soon. He's writing a new book called The Gods of the Church. Whoa! I thought Jesus was the God of the Church. But he says they're plural gods of the church. I can't wait to see that. After discovering who the gods of the Masonic Lodge are, I bet he gives us some... Wow. Won't that be interesting? Brother Hop, you're going to get in trouble again. You're writing a new book, Gods of the Church, the Christian Church. That's going to be a stunner, isn't it? Well, in any case, you get a lot of inspiration sitting in a prison cell, I'll bet. Well, I want you to have this book. Now, it's a book of, about 190 some odd pages, almost 200 pages. Got a few pictures in it. And really, all kind of quotes from Masons themselves telling you who they worship. And it turns out they worship the same ones as do the Jews. Judaism, when you really discover it, worships the same gods as did the ancient Egyptians. Jesus had come out of Egypt, but the Jews never really did. When Moses came down from the mountain, they were whoring after the past gods. They're still doing it today. Rothschild worships the Egyptian deities. The Masons worship ancient Egyptian gods. That's why the Masons, being so powerful, put it on our $1 bill. The sign of Osiris and his son Horus, the sun god, is the all-seeing eye on our $1 bill. That's the symbol. And the pyramid of Egypt, with the words, Latin inscription saying, New World Order. New World Order. The pyramid, the all-seeing eye of the Egyptian sun god and his son. Right there on our dollar bill. So please, don't say these things don't exist. Every time you pull a dollar out of your billfold or your purse, you're in a sense paying homage to the gods of Egypt. But of course, Jesus himself said, you are in the world, but not of the world. Always keep that in mind. Now, the gods of the lodge. I want you to have this book. Please, you need this book. What is it, Jerry? How much are we offering? $18? Yeah, just $18. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $23. Ask for Gods of the Lodge. Now, again, we have a new edition out. I wrote a foreword. Even if you have the old one, you'll want to see what my foreword says. But listen, I would order more than one copy of this book. $23 shipping will be taken care of for you. Now, how to get the book? As always, through our website, powerofprophecy.com, or you can order it by phoning us toll free during the work week, Monday through Friday, during the work day at 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you can write to us, send us $23. That'll take care of all the shipping and everything. Now, let's see, Jerry, if they're in Texas, do they have to pay a sales tax? Yeah, whatever that is. Boy, I hate that, don't you? Oh, well, in any case, $23 shipping and handling. And I suppose we'll take care of that if they phone us. We'll add that up for them or whatever if they phone us. But you can use your charge card, of course, or use PayPal. On powerofprophecy.com, our website. Again, our address to ask for the book, ask for Gods of the Lodge. And our address is Power Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Now let's return to our regular program. And I'm outraged today. I hope I'm getting you good and outraged too. Because these things do make you angry, and they should. Well, according to the news reports I've got here, the U.S.'s First Lady, Michelle Obama, just went on a $50,000 lingerie spending spree. Now, evidently the Queen of Gutter, that's spelled Q-A-T-A-R, Sheikha Moza, visited D.C., and she and the First Lady got along just fine. So the Queen, Sheikha, and Michelle Obama decided to go to New York City and do a little shopping. Now, you know, she usually takes Air Force One everywhere she goes, and I'm sure she did here too. Now, taking Air Force One shopping probably cost you around $400,000 for the gas and the personnel, the security and all that. So after she had blown $400,000 of our tax money, she and the Queen of Gutter went off to Madison Avenue. Now, part of that street had to be closed off for security's sake. so she could spend time, and believe it or not, in a luxury lingerie shop. I understand their purchases tallied up at about $50,000. Well, that's what you get when you buy handmade Calais lace corsets that cost around $2,000 and, you know, get little nighties and panties and all those things. I mean, you can't get panties at Kmart or Walmart that cost, you know, $3 or $4 or $5. That you got to buy the $5,000 models at on Madison Avenue. You know, my friends, the president has already been on 18 vacations in the 3.5 years since he's been in office. How many vacations have you been on? 18 vacations. And the guy plays golf endlessly. Besides, my goodness, 18 vacations. And his wife has been on even more than that, she and her daughters. And do they ever work? Do they ever do anything useful other than blow trillions of dollars with something called Obamacare? Now, that's outrageous. Well, I'll tell you something else outrageous. ABC, American Broadcasting Corporation, network, TV network, is now airing a show called GCB. Now, GCB stands for Good Christian, dare I say the word, bitches. Can you imagine them putting out a show called Good Jewish Bitches or Good Muslim Bitches? Never. It's okay to blaspheme and slander Christians and our Bible, even our women. They get away with it. Hey, the Jewish ADL doesn't apologize for it either. Well, why should they? Well, a friend of mine did a little research. Come to find out, the producer, the director, and yes, the head of ABC's programming are all Jews. And two of the three that I just mentioned to you are homosexual besides, and possibly the third, but we haven't discovered that yet. Now, I want you to think about that. The director of programming, the producer, the director, in fact, we found out the head of casting, and even the head of the whole network, they're all Jewish. And they dare, yes, they dare, because they don't care, they have no respect for Christians, put out a program called Good Christian Bitches, GCB. Defamation of Christianity. And guess what? It's put out by the Disney Corporation, too. The Disney. Walt Disney would be turning over in his grave if he was still in there, but we know the body might be there, but the spirit is not. The soul is not. This show portrays Christian women as sluts, gossips, petty, deceivers, criminals, sex engines. My goodness. My friends, if you can find out who the sponsors of GCB are, you can Google it up with a search engine. Type in, you know, GCB, ABC, sponsors. Find out. I understand that Kraft, you know, the food maker, was one of the original sponsors. They have already pulled out. They do not want to be a supporter of this. Good for them. Good for Kraft. How about the other sponsors? I'd like to know what they're going to do about this. I hope this program dies on its own because the sponsors hear from responsible Christians who say, like Tex Morris does, it's time you stopped bashing, persecuting, and discriminating against Christians just because we're nice people. We're good people. We don't take a gun and go shoot somebody in the head. We don't assassinate the leaders of ABC Network. We don't harass the actors and actresses who play the parts in these shows. And I don't advocate anything like that. I'd rather you pray for the people than hurt them. That's right. Pray for these reprobate people that they be saved before it's too late. Because I'll tell you one thing, this can't be something that God up in heaven is happy about. And every man is going to meet that great God someday. You Jewish people out there, aren't you ashamed of those of your race that do these horrible things? And if you're not, why not? Well, here's something else to make you angry, folks. It has to do with our Bible. Evidently, there's a new Bible translation out. They get worse and worse. It's the New Oxford Annotated Bible. I understand it has a more gay version of the Bible. Homosexuals were called in and helped to interpret Scripture better and change some of the words. Well, that's bad enough. But evidently, an incredible group that used to be honest and good Christian people, the Wycliffe Bible Translators, are producing Bible translations, from what I'm told here, that remove or modify terms which are deemed offensive to Muslims. These are Muslim-friendly Bibles. Now, they remove any references to God as Father or to Jesus as Son or the Son of God. Listen to this Arabic version of the Gospel of Matthew promoted by a group called the Summer Institute of Linguistics and Frontiers, whatever that is. Listen to this New Bible version. It's found in Matthew 28, verse 19. First, let me say that there is where Jesus tells you to go forth and preach the kingdom and to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go out and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is being changed in these Muslim-friendly Bibles. Here's the new wording. Get this. Quote, cleanse them by water in the name of Allah, His Messiah, and His Holy Spirit. Cleansing them by water in the name of Allah, His Messiah, and His Holy Spirit. No more Father, no more Son. The very words of Jesus stricken from the Bible and replace with Muslim-friendly language. As if our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, are not offended. Well, I am offended. And I believe God is too. Well, here's something else to offend someone. I'm offended. I'm outraged about this. There's a journal that's put out called Ethics, Policy, and Environment. Now, these people call themselves, they really do, ethicists. Ethicists. You know, like physicists. They are ethicists. Experts in ethics. And they put out a journal. And recently they published an article or a paper in this Journal of Ethics, Policy, and the Environment. And here's what this article said. By the way, this was discovered in an interview in the Atlantic magazine, a well-known magazine. It seems that New York University bioethics professor S. Matthew Lau argues that humans need to be subjected to certain biomedical modifications. You see, we need to combat or to fight climate change, global warming. How do you fight global warming? He says that people in the world, the 7 billion of us who are human beings, are harming the environment, and through our use of gasoline and so forth, driving cars and all that, and using air conditioners and all, whatever, the good doctor from New York University of Bioethics says that we human beings are harming the environment, harming our Mother Earth, and instead we need to change. How can we change? He says through bioengineering, through genetics, through genetic engineering, DNA changes, little people can be developed. I really mean this. Little people. We can genetically engineer that babies be born and grow up smaller. So instead of an average woman being, 5'3" or 5'4", she'll only be 4'2". Instead of a man being 5'11" or 6', average man, we'll just make him, 4'10". Incredible. They want to make smaller people. change the way we are as human beings so we can be a little easier on the world. We can be more environmentally conscious. Now, wait, that's not all. They say that people's brains have to change too. Not only do our bodies have to become smaller, and we all become, you know, midgets or dwarfs or the little people. I don't know what they'd call us then. The population, now listen to this, must be mass drugged. I don't know whether they're intending to put it in our water, our food, or what, or a combination of those things. But they want to mass drug us all. And according to this paper, this article in Ethics, Policy, and the Environment, they're proposing that the whole population of the world be drugged so our minds can be changed through these drugs and we would become more environmentally conscious. Now, folks, this goes, did you ever see the movie Brave New World or read the book? It's a 1932 novel by Englishman Aldous Huxley. I put it in the same category as George Orwell's 1984. In Brave New World, a scientific dictatorship drugged, genetically manipulated, and turned men into mind-controlled slaves. This guy says we can drug the population of the world and turn them into environmental slaves. Are you going to volunteer, friends? Well, you know, as I said, way back in the 60s, they started taking our soldiers, our airmen, our Navy people, and giving them these experimental drugs. You don't think they're doing that today? You don't think that there are quote-unquote little people being born? I know there have always been dwarfs and midgets and so forth. Some people are, I mean, that's the way we're all made. And we shouldn't be discriminated against because that's the way we turned out. I mean, and they're wonderful people of all races and all kinds and all sizes. Fat and skinny and rotund and, you know, wiry. I don't discriminate against anybody because of their size, except maybe the size of their souls spiritually. That bothers me sometimes. When they have dwarf-sized souls and spirits. But can you imagine that human beings will be subjected to biomedical modifications in order to help combat climate change? And because we're not all environmentally conscious, you'll be drugged until you do become such. You see, the little people consume less. If you're 4 foot tall or 3.5 foot tall and you only weigh 70 pounds, you'll be consuming less of the world's resources. In fact, this Professor Lau, this idiot, suggests that a policy similar to China's one-child policy be introduced. But now parents can have maybe one large child or three small children. So you go down and register with the government and a couple, husband and wife, and you ask the government's permission to have three children. And the government says, okay, but they'll all have to be tiny people. But if you only want one child, we'll let you have a bigger version. That sounds discrimination in itself. You're saying that the one big person is equal to three smaller people, aren't you? Right away, the professor, he's the one being discriminatory against the little people. He says if you drug the public, you would give them through drugs the will to donate monies to charities which support the global warming agenda. So, friends, you don't want to give your money to Greenpeace or the conservation people or, you know, Earth First, the terrorists out there that are earthers. Well, they'll just drug you. Then you'll willingly pull out your purse or your pocketbook. Yes, we want to save our mother. Ooh, thank you, Al Gore. Okay, God, this is incredible. Now, toward the end of the interview of Professor Lau, this New York University bioethics professor, he says that he's checked with the pharmaceutical industry and they are enthusiastic because he admits there will be a potential financial windfall from biomedical modifications. So listen to me, friends. If the 7 billion people in all the world are required, let's say daily, to take a pill or a capsule that modifies their consciousness so that they love their mother, Mother Earth. What a windfall profit that'll be for the big pharmacy companies, Pfizer, Merck, and the others. Wow. Buy me some stock in the pharmaceutical industry. And let's start manufacturing the little people. Now I'm being facetious. It's ridiculous. Drug the population into accepting a green world order. Folks, I told you these people are tyrants. I told you they're against humanity. I've warned you about this. And I told the truth. Well, here's two things for you. One is this article here. Seems that a grandfather in New Hampshire has been arrested. And he's facing a possible prison sentence. What did this evil grandfather do? Well, you see, there was a burglar breaking into his home. His own home. Dennis Fleming, 61 years age, a grandfather, came home on a Saturday night to discover that his home had been robbed. And he saw the burglar, Joseph Herbert, 27, climbing out the window. He yelled, "Freeze!" And he fired a shot into the ground. Into the ground, he fired the shot. And the crook put up his arms and waited till the cops got there. Mr. Fleming called the cops. Protecting his neighborhood, protecting his home. He didn't shoot the burglar. He probably should have. He just fired a shot into the ground. When the police arrived, they arrested Herbert, all right. But instead of a big old thank you and a wet kiss on the cheek to Mr. Fleming, they arrested him, too, on a charge of reckless conduct. He should not have fired a shot. That was reckless. It might have strayed and hit the burglar. Ooh, what a bad man he was. You defend your home. A home has been robbed. You got the burglar climbing out the window. You shoot a cautionary warning shot into the ground, make him put his arms up, and you call 911. They come and then they arrest you. Is this America? This is an outrage. Finally, another one. Too much. In Los Angeles, in the jail, a convicted killer who gained notoriety for having a murder scene tattooed on his chest comes out all the time while he's been in jail. He's been receiving unemployment benefits. In fact, the man, Anthony Garcia, no doubt he's an illegal alien, a murderer who they nickname in jailhouse Chopper because he would like to chop people up, has received more than $30,000 in fraudulent unemployment checks while in the Los Angeles County jail from 2008 to 2010. Imagine, didn't the deputies know it? Didn't the people that took care of the mail know it? This man was receiving unemployment checks. He got $30,000 over 2 years. A murderer. Unemployment. Thank you, Barack Obama. Thank you, Governor Jerry Brown. You're the saviors of the illegal aliens who are in jail for murder. They need money too, don't they? I mean, I know they get free meals, free shelter and all that. Surely they've got expenses. I don't know what they could be, but surely maybe they need to, you know, smuggle in drugs or something for their heroin habit. I don't know. But this is a welfare country. Why shouldn't we give a convicted killer unemployment compensation while he's sitting in a jail cell? This is Tex Mars. Are you outraged? Are you angry yet? I am. My prayer, my friends, is that you'll tune in each week here at Power Prophecy. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.